All right, good morning, everyone. This is Brandon with the Iowa Healthcare Association, joined by our partners from Amerigroup Iowa. It is January 11th, 2023. And so our first MCO round of calls for the new year. And so we'll get started again, briefly running through info letters. I will go through those rather quickly since we've covered them on our previous two calls as well. But as far as info letter 2411, that is HCBS cost report submission requirements. Make sure that you are looking at that if you are a waiver provider and are required to provide cost reports, that you are up to date on the requirements for submitting those. That is info letter 2411. A recap of info letter 2398, that was re-released again at the beginning of the year. That had previously come out in November, but it's basically the good faith exemption for EVV requirements, moving back home healthcare services to, at the latest, 1-1 of 24. We know that home healthcare waiver services, the S&T codes, began 1-1 of 23, so 11 days ago, that you'll need to be using CareBridge or your approved vendor for those services, S&T waiver codes for home healthcare services, effective then. That letter also mentions a phased in approach for EVV. And so we would anticipate, another step. So that S&T codes, waiver codes is phase one. We'd expect another step of phase two being most likely the home healthcare services at a later date. Just because the requirement is that it must be implemented by 1/1/24 does not mean that the department or, the department can't require that, be sooner. So I would just be on the lookout for additional updates and information about home health care services into EVV. I'm not saying that it will be sooner. I'm saying that I think the waiver just grants you that extra time, but does not say that you must start on 1-1 of 24. Obviously, there are things that will be going on throughout the state with the onboarding of Molina and the redistribution of members that will likely occur. That will be keeping everyone very busy in the middle of the year. And so just knowing that EVV will be one piece that will need to be instituted for home health care at some point later on this year. So, and lastly, info letter 2399 is a type of bill frequency code and patient status code, making sure that you are utilizing the proper type of bill and those patient status codes. On your claims, there was a requirement that be done 1-1 of 23. So again, 11 days ago, if you are not using the proper codes, those claims will be denied. So make sure that you are following info letter 2399 with your type of bills and bill frequency codes when billing. So, and that is kind of the audience that we have here, more than likely is individuals who use that or affect that. So make sure you're checking out IL-2399. With that, I will pause and see if John or anyone from Amerigroup has any update from Amerigroup.
Hey, good morning and happy new year, everyone. John McCauley here with Amerigroup. I'm the health equity director. I just wanted to reintroduce myself at the top of the year, knowing that there's a likelihood that some folks here haven't heard me or met me. We do have a team of people from Provider Solutions, Utilization Management, and other parts of Amerigroup's organization here to field questions in chat. So feel free to fire up your fingers and get those questions flowing. And we'll be happy to address the questions that Brandon is fielding as the MC of the call. I don't have any provider specific updates from Amerigroup at this time, and I will turn to the rest of our team here in a second to see if there are some that I just might not be aware of. We are paying very, very close attention to the work IME has initiated to end the continuous enrollment. And that will be a major, major priority that will affect probably all providers in the Medicaid program. And we will participate in multi-layer communications in coordination with all the other MCOs, Iowa Medicaid, as well as, the work that provider trade associations will be doing to push out the messaging, information about members who may be disenrolled due to ineligibility, that may qualify for, products on the insurance exchange, Medicare or other products that they might be eligible for. So a lot more to come there. And I just wanted to flag that at the top of the meeting and, make sure that everybody is hearing that, as soon as possible and tracking to, the new announcement that came out today that Medicaid, will be conducting a webinar, providing a 1-hour briefing on the end of continuous enrollment, coming up, at the end of the month. And Brandon, I'm assuming you saw that and that you're able to get that out to, the providers. And if you didn't, I will send it over to you.
You're talking about the continuous enrollment webinar?
Yep.
Yep. I actually just forward that to our comms team to our inclusion in our bulletin, which comes out today. So we'll run that today and next week, more than likely, with the details. So.
Okay. That's great. I'm really glad to hear that is getting out there already. A super opportunity to get some great background directly from the program leadership at Medicaid about how the state intends to implement. So I'm going to stop there and check in with the rest of the Amerigroup team to see if there are any provider related or other announcements that you want to share here at the top of the hour, half hour.
Hi, John, and good morning, everyone. This is Dawn Hobson, provider relationships account manager, one of our team members. And I just wanted to share regarding the actual webinar coming up, I believe January 25th. Just a note that, registration is required for that webinar. So you want to make sure that, once you get that, you do register with that if you would like to participate in that. I think it'll give us a lot of good information on the process of unwinding everything for that April 1st, 2023 deadline date. And then additionally, from the provider relations team, regarding our reprocessing of the nursing facility per diem rate updates for July 1st of 2022. That project has been, I believe, concluded at this point. I want to say that most of my providers have seen reprocessing with that. That would be for any of the July, possibly August, that we needed to go back in and reprocess if you did not originally have that done. So I would say that if you are running into that still and you're not seeing that on your new EOBs or remittances, to reach out to your provider experience or provider relationship manager just to double check to make sure that you were included in that sweep. I believe we should have everybody at that point up to date. Then for the October 1st of 2022 nursing facility per diem rates, fortunately, with enthusiasm, I say, we did receive those rates ahead of time, and those have all been loaded and configured in our system as well. So as you were billing for October 1 date of service, you should have been able to see that those rates were already configured and should be matched if if the bill charges were correct and high enough for that. So I just wanted to share that. We're going to cross our fingers that our next quarterly for January will go, as smoothly as October, that we do receive those ahead of time so we can get those loaded. I have not heard anything about that yet, but I will keep a watch for that and share that information.
All right. I appreciate that. Thanks, Dawn and John. So we did have one question submitted ahead of time for Amerigroup. I will go grab that quick. And the question was, there it is. Sorry. The question is in regards to the AmeriVantage plan, and it said, did the requested AmeriVantage spreadsheet examples sent after the last call help towards resolving the Amerigroup Medicaid claims being denied? And then a follow-up of when can a fix be expected on that? So as a reminder, during our last call, we had some providers submit some examples of where they were receiving denials for individuals who had both the AmeriVantage and Amerigroup MCO. They were submitting Medicaid claims and were being denied on the AmeriVantage side. So we sent some examples in, at least in this case, Janet had sent some examples in and is just following up to see if those were able to be utilized to improve the experience.
Thank you. And I appreciate that those were samples were sent in. We are at this point, we did a deep dive into the issue as to why it is occurring and what is actually happening with the Medicaid build services crossing over and becoming the Medicare, you know, process of the claim with a denial. Those denials are typically Medicare related programming or guidelines that are denials. So I've been working with those providers and trying to get kind of a rectifying the reason that that is happening. So we have a team that's working on that right now. Individually, I'm submitting, including, I believe, Janet, thank you for sending yours over, including those in to get those reviewed and looked at so that we can get those reprocessed correctly. The issue is once they have been brought in and they are actually processed with the denial as a Medicare claim, it does require us to manually import those into the Medicaid, you know, processing system. So we're in the process of doing that and getting those. So we should be seeing some movement on those fairly quickly, but I do need to give the team time to get that reprocessing done. But while we're doing that, we are actually addressing the actual issue of why they continue to cross over incorrectly. And that is with our production team right now. I do not have a real last minute update other than that we are in the process of, you know, trying to correct that as well. So we corrected the rejections that were happening, and now we're addressing the actual denials that are crossing over to Medicare instead of the Medicaid side, as they should be.
Awesome. Thanks, Dawn. That is our pre-submitted questions. I will pause again here now and see if there are any other questions or follow-up questions for Amerigroup this morning.
Are there any new questions coming in through the chat on your end? I'm not seeing anything in the common chat.
No. My last one was about 11:34, so I have not seen any come through the chat yet. Well, while you all are thinking, I'm going to again discuss our conversation with the department and managed care plans again. And obviously, if Amerigroup has any feedback or comments they'd like to make. Yesterday, we met with the department and the managed care plans and other provider stakeholders to discuss what was, it was really focused more so on individuals who have paraplegia or quadriplegia and are needing services provided in the home or home and community-based services. And so there's a real struggle in finding access for those high care needs individuals who are oftentimes between the ages of, you know, 25 to 50, who may not be, their ideal situation is not living in a nursing facility, which is obviously more so, more elderly individuals. And so if their care needs can be met in the community, that is best for their personal and mental well-being. And so lots of discussions about creative ways to improve the experiences of home health or home and community-based service providers to have the capacity and ability to care for those advanced or those higher care needs individuals seeking and really needing care at home. Oftentimes they have family caregivers who are providing some support for them. But obviously that is very difficult, and that is why many of you have chosen to serve in your roles, because that is a passion and that is a skill that you have as caregivers. And so it was a great conversation. It was stated at the beginning that no idea was a bad idea. And so lots of different options were sent through. As far as Amerigroup representation, I know Kelly Espeland was active on that call and you know, joined right in and provided feedback and suggestions along with everybody else that was on the call. So a very collaborative approach. There was not no like blaming or anything like that for providers not being able to accept new admissions or anything. Obviously, you're doing what care you can with the staff that you have to make sure that the clients and the residents that you have are successful and receiving high quality care. So nothing along those lines were even close to being discussed. So just really trying to try to meet the needs. And obviously funding is one of the many pieces to this puzzle. And funding goes a long way in determining, funding goes a long way in making sure that you're able to provide and retain and hire staff, as well as being able to, meet those care needs and receive payments for care provided in as easy of a manner as possible. So, like I mentioned, it was collaborative. I don't know if anyone of the representatives from Amerigroup today that are on our call were on that call, but I don't know if you have any comments or thoughts as far as what we're talking about here and ways to maybe try to improve that process.
Well, first of all, Brandon, I want to say thank you for the summary of the meeting. I was not in that call, but the representatives from LTSS and other leadership participated, which is appropriate. I will make a comment that that type of conversation about services and improvement or create, you know, thinking creatively about services is the an indication of a hallmark approach that Director Matney is bringing to the program. It's a perfect follow-on to the monthly town hall meetings that she has been hosting for providers and for members. And we've had some very positive direct member to IME to MCO conversations about individual challenges with program limitations, as well as some collaborative system-wide approaches. So it really feels like a new day with Medicaid bringing all of us to the table for collaborative conversations. And I'm going to stop there and check in with the Amerigroup team to see if any of the participants in this meeting were in the meeting you just referenced. I'll put it on mute now.
I know Kelly Espeland was on the meeting, and I did invite her to this one as well to see if she had anything else that she wanted to relay to the group or follow up on. She had another commitment, which is understandable since it's late notice, but I didn't recognize any other Amerigroup individuals, so but obviously, if you were on the call, feel free to make any comment. So I guess as far as outcomes, I know we've talked on our previous two calls about this. We're talking about it again here, and that's obviously, I know it's a priority of the department. It's a priority of the plans, and really just ensuring that Iowans have access to care, and what can we do to make sure that we are able and willing to provide that care, and what barriers are in place to that would allow us to do that in the future. And obviously workforce is a major one of those issues that we're actively trying to find solutions for, even when the bodies don't exist. Whether it's leveraging telehealth solutions, telemetry solutions, utilizing technology like remote patient monitors to provide some updates for you on individuals, so you may not have to travel as often to make those visits. So any and all solutions are on the table that we're just looking at to be creative and collaborative and trying to answer those questions and get those services for Iowans. I do know that there's been some questions in throughout the chat. I do think that most of those are being answered by the representatives in the chat. So we appreciate you all following up and making some comments and answering some of those questions for members through that route. Were any of the questions in the chat not able to be answered yet? I'm trying to catch up, but if you have a question that was in the chat that wasn't answered, feel free to unmute or ask the question this way before we reach our noon stop time.
Brandon, this is Dawn Hobson with Amerigroup. Mm-hmm. A couple of the chat comments were in regard to EVV rates not being updated. And I just want to, I put a little comment in there to let everyone know, but the process of doing that, providers have access to be able to do that themselves on the CareBridge application. So when those rates, are updated by the state, the provider would go in and update those rates. There's guidance that is provided by CareBridge on how to do that. But if you're still needing some guidance or information on that, your provider experience or provider relationship manager can give you some informational guidance that on how to do that. But that's how those rates are going to get updated.
Awesome. No, that's good to know. I did not know that. And I see a comment in the chat here that says Amerigroup is the MCO that allows that. That you're not able to do that for Iowa Total Care. So sounds like I will be having a conversation with Iowa Total Care about that, and we appreciate that ability from Amerigroup. So thank you for that.
Okay. And then before we wrap up, I'll try to answer any more in the chat if I can, but I don't see anything that's hanging out there. But I did want to address something that kind of comes back to the AmeriVantage. And I've had a few outreaches that have been in regard to authorizations, where authorizations are being requested by providers under the Medicaid ID, but unfortunately they may be getting the authorization approval either viewing that on the Availity Portal or in Access of Facts that actually comes back as a Medicare AmeriVantage authorization. I do need to encourage providers, if that is happening, that you are working with the UM team to get that rectified, particularly if possible before billing, because as you're probably finding, you're going to find that you're going to get a denial for a service code that does not show the authorization has been assigned underneath the Medicaid side for the member, particularly for waiver, with that. So I just want to encourage you to do that. If you need assistance with that, your provider relationships manager can, assist in facilitating internally to get that actual correction. But if you can reach out to our provider services customer number with the information and letting them know you need that updated to the correct authorization for plan of care.
Awesome. Thank you, Dawn. Okay. Heather, I see your comment in the chat. I appreciate the feedback there as well. Of ways to improve the process and maybe make it easier or make your ability to serve additional members better. So thanks for including that as well. Okay. Well, seeing no further questions or comments, I'm going to include my email in the chat again. You probably already have it, but in case you don't, my email is there. I'd love to have any thoughts or comments from you about what we've discussed on this call or any of the calls today. Really getting at improving access and abilities to take on admissions or take admissions again. So our follow-up discussion with the department is, it's actually part of a three meeting series. This, our first one was last night, but our next one is next week on Thursday. So any submissions or comments or questions you can, or suggestions you can give us, before then, is helpful. Like I mentioned earlier, you know, we obviously have ideas already. But we can't think of everything, and you guys are the ones that are really providing the care, and really experiencing the challenges that could really relay and help us to improve that experience for you all. So, I appreciate what you've all included in the chat so far, and we'll definitely relay that along as well. And then I will pause here. I do see one other question, asking about, are authorizations still required for AmeriVantage home health services? The Availity pre-auth portal will not allow the auths. The system just ends the auth request submission process. And I see that there's a follow-up there. So I don't know, Dawn, if you and Sue are connected at all outside of the call here, but if Dawn, maybe you could put your contact info in there. We can have Sue seek clarification from you that way.
Yeah, that's fine. And Sue, if I am not the provider relationship, you reach out to your rep regarding that. But just to clarify, we just need to make sure that when you're requesting for AmeriVantage member services, that you are using the member ID of AmeriVantage. It is different than the Medicaid ID. It would be required for that request to get it over to the right side of the house. And yeah, we can help you with that if you need some, and I'll put my contact information in there for you.
Awesome. Thank you, Don. And we'll wrap by saying, again, thanks to Amerigroup for joining us on this call and our future calls. We really appreciate the partnership that you guys have given us in continuing to join us for these. So thank you for that. Thanks to our members for continuing to join and hopefully having some meaningful discussion or being able to get some questions answered and understand what's going on in the sector going forward. So with that, we will wrap up our call today and hope everyone has a great rest of the week.
Thank you.